chapter 8 of Book of Esther. Tonight's title is Spreading the Word. Let's start. Nowadays, there are so many different and effective ways to communicate with one another. You can compile the massive email addresses and send them blanket email to the people at once, all over the world, as a matter of fact. Or if you are young, or if you are into text messaging, you can use the, you know, use a thumb pad and your cell phone, send out the texting back and forth. I ask my daughter time to time, why you text me when you can just call me? She said, I don't know. It's an in thing for them. And it's a good thing my wife is back here in town. At the beginning, she just told me that she wouldn't do the email, she wouldn't do the texting because she doesn't want to learn something new. Now she cannot tear up away from the email and the texting. What happened to her? I don't know. Maybe she got younger with my daughter Michelle. Or you can publish a web page, and so you can have visitors from all over the world. Or if you have a lot of money, you don't know what to do with it, and so you want to waste the money, then you can use a radio commercial or TV commercial to communicate with the people. You can let them know what you have, what you are selling, or what you're going to do. Who, in my opinion, the best one who is doing that every day is Sam Levis. They said that this is the last time you're going to have this kind of deal. And then next day, they have another deal going on for something else. Or you can rely on the old-fashioned way, writing letters or calling people. Or there's another old-fashioned way with the direct mail system, the advertising, and which we pretty much toss them away over the writing on top of the trash can or sorting them out. Within 8 seconds, the direct mail goes into the garbage can. Even though it's amazingly easy and efficient for us to communicate with other people, spread the good news or the bad news, that is, if you would say it that way. However, somehow when it comes to spreading good news of Jesus Christ, it seems like we are further behind than ever before. Somebody who is very smart and calculated is if we saved people, 3,000 people per day with a massive evangelism like Billy Graham does or Greg Laurie does. Every day, 3,000 people get saved. At the end of the year, we will have somewhere around 1.1 million people get saved. You with me? From 1960, if we people get saved every day, 3,000 people continuously, so far we would have about 40 million people or 50 million people got saved. That's great. But however, that's not the best way to do it. Let's say Wayne got saved in 1960. I don't know how old he was, probably 5 years old when he 1960, right, hey, Wayne? Okay. He got saved and he goes out and tells to two people. And those two people go out, tell to four people. Within 20 years, there won't be anybody left over to spread the good news of Jesus Christ on this earth. There are 6.6 billion people living in this world. Personal evangelism works better than the massive evangelism. Folks, we are commanded to do so, but we are not doing it. So whose fault is that? It's none other than our own fault. It's not it's not necessarily so-called a full-time minister's problem. All of us, commanded by the Lord Jesus Christ to spread the gospel to the end of the earth, but we are further behind than before, as I mentioned. The reason is because we came up with all the silly excuses why we cannot spread the goodness of Jesus Christ while the people are going to hell left and right. We always have excuses. I don't know what to tell them. Then learn what to tell them. Folks, what is my job? Can you give me the one description, one sentence description? Perfect. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12 says, Pastor teaches to equip the saint. My job is to equip you guys so that you can go out, tell other people about the good news of Jesus Christ. It's not my job or evangelist's job to do that. It's our job. Do you understand? It is our job. As long as you are Christian, it is our job. In chapter 7, King Ahasuerus finally executed this miserable, low-life, lying guy, Haman, and for his wicked scheme. In chapter 8, we see the Esther further intercede on behalf of the Jewish people. Though Haman was dead, his wicked scheme is still very much alive. How many people got killed because of the evil people set up this wicked scheme, and even though they may be inside a grave, the problem continues, goes on. Good example, can I say Saddam Hussein? And his wicked way influenced Iraq so much that there's still insurgents in fighting against the democratic government. So let's go to verse 1 of chapter 8, we'll pray. Heavenly Father, we are most grateful that you saved us. And you choose to give us that commandment, the commission to spread the good news of Jesus Christ to the people around this world, around this country, around this city, around our neighborhood. Give us wisdom, equip us and teach us so that we may be your mouthpiece to spread the good news. Most of all, let our lives backing up what we say. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm sure that you, by now, you guys are looking at that and say, hey, preacher, you got that the Spanish wrong. I know you screw up the English, but not just English, but now you screw up the Spanish. There is a reason why I did that. Let's read the verse 1. On that day, the king Ahasuerus gave Queen Esther the house of Haman, the enemy of the Jews. So his house became her house, right? That's why it's a Sukasa and Mikasa. And Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told her how he was related to her. So the king took off his signet ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it to Mordecai, and Esther appointed Mordecai over the house of Haman. According to ancient custom, and according to ancient historian, it was a common practice when there is a traitor is executed, the king take over whatever the possession he had. In this case, if the king Ahasuerus took over Haman's property, Haman's possession and house, he would get quite a lot of wealth. But he chose to give that all of that to Queen Esther. What's the purpose of that? It's not just being generous. But in my opinion, it's his way of atoning himself to her for the silly decision he allowed Haman to do. And brought all the havoc and the problem to her as well as her people. Ahasuerus knew that both Esther and Mordecai were Jew now. And because of marriage, now Ahasuerus is in-law of Mordecai. With a Jewish queen and a Jewish prime minister, the Jewish people had a really good chance in the political realm, and not like ever before. Everything that Haman acquired from King Ahasuerus was through scheming. All of that was given to Mordecai. But God doesn't just always end the ending like this kind's happy ending. Most likely it was the way we go through it, the way we look at it among the Christians, we don't see the happy ending all the time. Today, not all faithful Christians are promoted or given our special honor. Some of them get fired or lose everything they have or get even killed because of the standard for Christ. they stand for Christ. God hasn't promised that we will be promoted or made rich, but He has assured us that He is in control of all circumstances, that He will write the last chapter of the story. If God doesn't promote us here on earth, certainly He will when we get to heaven. There's no doubt about it. Let's move to the verse 3. Esther spoke again to the king and fell down at his feet and implored him with tears to counteract the evil of the Haman, the Agagite, and the scheming which he had devised against the Jews. And the king held out the golden scepter toward Esther. So Esther arose and stood before the king and said, "If please the king, if I have found favor in his sight, and the things seem right to the king, I am pleasing in his eyes, let it be written to revoke the letter devised by Haman and son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, which he wrote to annihilate the Jews who are in all the king's province. For how can I endure to see the evil that will come to my people, or how can I endure to see the destruction of my countrymen?" To Esther, her comfort is not as important as the deliverance of her people. See, to her, unless something intervenes, she knows that her people, Jewish people, will be killed. Excuse me, hold on. According to the historian, there are 100 million people living in the 127 province of the Persian kingdom. There are 15 million people are the Jews. That means at the end of this time, which is March 7th, they were all going to get killed. 15 million people were to get killed. That is not good enough for her. So she's intervening in the situation for her. A few days ago, I sent out the email to some of you guys. I have 36 people on my email list from our church. I sent a link to you guys. How many of you guys have received that? About the China, the revival in China. Did you watch it? Isn't that mind-boggling? Some of you know that. As you saw, majority of the Chinese pastors been imprisoned. They've been tortured and imprisoned average 5 to 10 times. And I had to wonder if I have enough courage to do so, if the push comes to shove. If this country turns against Christianity, if the liberal take over all three branches of our country, it won't be very long before the Christianity become banned. So we wouldn't have this kind of luxurious place. Only time you can have a Christianity, either you're hiding or you would be in prison. Would you stick up for your Christian faith? Would you stand up when they trying to take your life away? Or torture you, or rape your children in front of you, or tear your family apart, would you go for it? Don't think that it will never happen to this country. Look what's going on. I just got an email from the American Family Association. They are very good at notifying people. Heinz Company, Heinz 57, or whatever the ketchup they make, they decide to support the gays and lesbians full pledge. We are not known how many companies, probably you can count which the companies does not support the gay and lesbians issue. And more companies doing that. And there were one time among the pastors we exchanged information in the list server. And YouTube had one segment of the video, it was against homosexuality. Whoever was and loaded up about the gay and lesbians, how much they are against for the gay and lesbian marriage. Within 15 minutes, they took it off. What happened to freedom of expression? That works only it applied to their agenda. If to go against their agenda, there is no such a thing as freedom of expression. Convenience, exactly. It is important for us to think about it. Would I have enough courage? Would I have a willingness to stand up for Christ? As a matter of fact, come to think of it, we remember some of you guys, if you've been coming here long enough, you would remember what I am praying for. Persecution against American Christians. It might just happen. Don't think that it will destroy the church. It will purify the church. It will strengthen the church. There won't be any so-called pretending Christianity. It will happen. Would Jesus come before that happened? Don't know. But be prepared. While the American complains about everything, especially what we don't have, these believers in China count whatever they have as a blessing. What's wrong with our picture? Not their picture, our picture. We don't know how to sacrifice ourselves for others. Only thing that we know about sacrifice, we know how to spell it. Huh? They are smart people. Esther couldn't do everything, but she could do something. That's what she did. Whatever she could do, she did, and she approached the throne of the king and asked to reverse the decree that Haman devised. How do we approach to the King of Kings, the throne of God? It's okay. Mm-hmm. Do we come to him on behalf of the dying country? I remember I asked you on the Sunday morning, every Tuesday, one meal or entire day, I ask you to fast and pray. I hope you are doing that. Praying for this country. If all the Christians turn to God, and remember 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways and pray and seek my face, I will hear from them heaven and will forgive their land, forgive their sins and heal their land. It is our job to start the revival. While we seek God, our heart will be renewed. Then this country will be revived. If this country goes down the drain, guess whose fault that is? Mine and yours. Don't point a finger at the sinners, please. Don't point a finger at the heathens. You know why? Dog box. Sinner sinned. That's what they're supposed to do. We are supposed not to do that kind of thing. We are supposed to intercede for them. It was a masterstroke touch of the devil. For him to make us Christian to think that lay aside the mighty weapons of prayer. The devil is perfectly willing to church should multiply its organization in flourishing with the many different programs. If it will only give up the praying and the seeking the truth from the Bible. How many of you guys read an article in the USA Today regarding there is a 350,000 people went through a survey? And you got to read that thing. Someday I'm going to integrate into my sermon. It is really sickening. 74% of American people the Christians, they call themselves Christians, think that all the good people go to heaven. 74% of American people who call themselves Christians think that they're going to go to all the good people go to heaven. Esther's example encourages us to come to God's throne, intercede on behalf of the others, especially this country during this time, especially this election, presidential election time. I've been here since 81. Ronald Reagan's dynasty, or if you call it, George Bush Sr., and that horrible guy for 8 years, and her husband who was the president, and then George Bush, W. Bush. Now, this is, in my opinion, this is the worst election. And I was thinking, is America that lack of people that this is all we got? Folks, one concerned person devoted to prayer can make a difference, great difference in this world, because prayer is the key that releases the power of God. Don't think that I said that, and then after I said that, and he said, you know, this is a theologically incorrect word, but let me explain to you. Our prayer doesn't mean a thing, but our God who listened to our prayer, because we come to Him, we cry out to Him, intercede on behalf of this country, He will release the power of God. God makes a difference. Yeah. Our God makes the difference. But when we come to Him with a broken heart and contrite spirit, and He will take it. Let's move down to the verse 7. The king Ahasuerus said to the queen Esther and Mordecai, the Jews, indeed I have given Esther the house of Haman, and they have hanged him on gallows, because he tried to lay his hands on the Jews. You yourself write the decree concerning the Jews as you please in the king's name. Seal it with the king's signet ring. For whatever is written in the king's name, that seal it with the king's signet ring, no one can revoke. So the king's scribes were called at that time, and in the third month, which is the month of Sivan, in the 23rd day, it was written according to all the princes of the province from the India to Ethiopia, 127 provinces in all, to every province its own script, to every people in their own language, to the Jews in their own script and language. Verse 10, and he wrote in the name of King Ahasuerus, sealed with the king's signet ring, and sent a letter to by the couriers on the horseback, riding on a royal horse, bred from the swift steed. By these letters, the king permitted the Jews who were in every city to get together and protect their lives, and to destroy, kill, and annihilate all the forces of any people or province that would assault them, both little children and women, and to plunder their possessions. On one day in all the province of the king Ahasuerus, the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, a copy of a document was to be issued as a decree in every province and published for all the people, so that the Jews would be ready on that day to avenge themselves on their enemies. The courier who rode on royal horses went out and hastened and pressed. Would you underline that portion, please? The courier who rode on the royal horse went out, hastened and pressed on by king's command. See that? Underline, memorize, and that is your assignment. I'll explain it a little later. The decree was issued in Shushan, the citadel. In a modern democratic nation, if the law is not correct, even though it was passed through by the Congress and Senate and was not vetoed by the president, still they can go back and retrieve it, and they can revoke and they can reverse the decision, or even the Supreme Court can say it's unconstitutional. Just like the California Supreme Court just did with against a two-thirds of the Californians' wish, marriage. I'm talking about marriage amendment. The marriage amendment is between one man and one woman. Now is everything is go. And then how are they going to stop? Is it two men and one woman, or two women and then one man, or the five women and one man? Where are they going to draw the line? The line is blurred now. Anyway, they can do that kind of thing. However, in the ancient time, like a monarch as a king has error, there's no such a thing as king make a mistake. Remember, they always find a scapegoat. In this case, whatever king's voice is, that's the law. So once he said it and signaled, the ring is on the decree, that's the end of it. Only way you can revoke that is coming up with another decree that would reverse that. King couldn't legally revoke the decree, so he came up with a new one, and the citizens of the Empire of Persia didn't have to hire the lawyer to figure out what the message was. Don't kill the Jews, you will be killed. So it's clear. And March 7th, don't go after them. I wish only the born-again Christian today were like the scribes and couriers. Remember, they were pressed, they were hastened. To spread what? King's message. Folks, we have a king's message. We do have a king's message. The King of Kings has commanded us, and we must go, and for some reason we linger. If the group of pagan scribes and messengers without the modern capability of transportation and communication could take a Mordecai's decree to the entire empire, how much more should a Christian be able to take the Christ's gospel to the lost world? Don't say that we cannot reach them. We can reach them. Forget the other world. How about the Green Valley? How about the Sararita? How about your own neighborhood? I'm not asking you to kick the door down and start to talk about Jesus Christ. First of all, you will be arrested if you do that. Probably I will see you in the Green Valley, sorry, the Sheriff Department office. Or I will come and bail you out in the Sarada PD. Please don't do that. But let's face it. I'm a salesman, right? I sell the gospel of Jesus Christ without getting paid. I prefer to do it that way. If I know somebody and that person don't know Jesus Christ, they can go with any conversation direction. I'll eventually bring them to the Christ. You can do the same thing. If you choose to, what is your favorite subject? I know, I look at the Gary and the golf and fish. What else? John, guns. Hamby, camera and computer. You have your own thing. You're good at it. You meet somebody who are good at that kind of thing. When you talk to them, talk about that and rig them into your own conversation about Jesus Christ. It's not that difficult. And if you come to the place where they ask questions and you don't know how to answer, say, I don't know. Don't try to come up with this grandiose theologian of your own. Tell them, come and see. Remember, do you know who said that? Well, often. Who said that? Andrew, one of the disciples. Andrew, come and see. Then he brought him, those people, to Jesus. So you say, I'll come pick you up on Sunday morning. I'll bring you to church. Maybe that'll work. Think about it. Ever since the fall of the Adam and Eve, mankind was destined to perish in hell. Because we couldn't keep the righteousness to the God's level. The wage of sin is death. Remember, we studied that in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God put another law, God gave us another law into effect. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. God obeyed the law of sin and death when He gave His Son to Jesus to bear our sin and die on the cross. Now with the new law, the Spirit of life, but God raised Him from the dead and put the new decree in effect and make it possible for the sinner to be saved. It's a parallel line. Do you see it? They were going to kill the Jews. And there's another one, with this new law, Jews are saved. We had the same thing, law of sin and death. Now we have a law of Spirit of life through Jesus Christ. Let's go to the last verse. So Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel in blue and white and with a great crown of gold and garment of fine linen and purple. The city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. The Jews had delight and gladness, joy and honor. In every province and city, wherever the king's command and decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, feast and holiday. Then many of the people of the land became Jews because the fear of the Jews fell upon them. Book of Esther opens with the Jews keeping their low profile. They didn't even confess, like Mordecai and Esther, they didn't even confess their nationality. Now, with the new decree, they tell everybody, I am Jew. I am Jew. And so they were happy to share that what God is doing in them. And of course, other people, it's just like a day after Super Bowl game. Pittsburgh Steelers, who cared about them before, a few years ago? Nobody cared. They are the losing team. All of a sudden, they won one game, Super Bowl. Guess what? Everybody has a sticker of the Steelers. My insurance agent has still this background in his computer. He's like, oh, you're one of them. He's like, oh, no, I was a Steelers fan. Oh, yeah, sure. If we have no joy, please listen carefully, please. If we have no joy in our faith in Christ, there is a leak in our Christianity somewhere. If Christian believers today manifest more of joy of the Lord, those outside the faith would be attracted to the Christianity and be willing to consider the message of the gospel. Do me a big favor. When you go to work tomorrow, don't walk around with a mouth drooping like this. I know you might go through a difficult time, but with that inner peace you have, the joy you have in Christ Jesus, should blossom in your face. By doing so, that when the people see, the non-Christians see you, and they have to ask you, what is your secret that you've been so happy? Always joyful, always having peace. Because, let me tell you why. It's because of my Christ. Great conversation way to do it. Great way to have a conversation. First application. One concerned person devoted to the prayer can make a great difference in this world because prayer is the key that releases the power of God. Second application. Next time, when the Lord prompts you to share the good news of Jesus Christ with others, Do not be concerned about rejection, embarrassment, and any other things, but be concerned about the glory of God and that person's eternal life. How do you know when you share the word of God with that person that is planting the seed? How do you know when you spoke about Jesus Christ that was watering? It is not me that bring that harvest. It is not you bring the harvest. Guess who bring the harvest? The Spirit of God, Holy Spirit. Without Him, nobody can be saved. So don't be concerned whether you're going to be rejected or not. If that's the case, I'll be the worst kind. Because every Sunday I give out the altar call. There are more occasions out of 52 weeks, about 45 weeks, I don't get any response. But I'm looking for that 7 times. It may happen. It may not happen. But remember what Isaiah 55:11 said. My word will not return in void. It always accomplished purpose. And it pleased what God meant. Let's stand up and pray.